You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7, feeling great. The Lakers are the champions. LeBron is that guy. I'm done arguing for now about his greatness, but it's all good because I'm very excited and I will be a master troll for the next foreseeable probably 3 to 6 months, so I get ready for that. The crew is here. Everybody's in the building. My man in the city, Mac, aka the voice of Indianapolis, aka I am back out in these streets, but I am safe. Man, Jay Moore, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. You know, it's just another week of having to try to navigate these streets and still be Rona free, but you know, we're making it a way out of no way.
Word. Good to see you as always, brother. Man is back. He was out last week handling grown folks' business. He is here. JJ Diff, what's happening, man? Good to see you, man.
Hey, what's going on, bro? Salutations. Indeed, likewise. Good to be back in the fold. Can y'all hear me?
Everything's good.
Okay.
Speaking of Lone, live from the Bring Down the Band headquarters, a man, Longevity. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, Michael, Major. I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Do you still have, are you going to ever sell me that green lamp, the old school joint, the 30s no. bang joint?
No, I'm not.
Forget that ass. I've been asking since, like, I don't know.
06.
Yeah.
Still I'm gonna saying keep no, it. Huh? I feel like I'm going to keep it until it catches on fire.
Then give it to me?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. You'd be petty enough to keep it after it caught on fire? Ain't that
probably. Probably. Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. It's the library lamp in Seven.
Yeah.
Yep. If you ever seen that movie, like when they're in the libraries, same little green
the
library
vibe,
lamp.
Man. One of these days, man, I think you'll give in, but it hadn't happened yet, so we'll see. Running out the squad, incomparable DJ Spools. How are you, sir?
Hello, Michael. I'm well. How are you?
Great, man. Wasn't it great to see LeBron win a championship?
Oh, man. Yeah. It was. I was so excited about it.
I could tell.
Actually, I think Jay Moore and I were watching that game Sunday.
Yeah, man.
And,
yeah.
It was ugly.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I just wanted to check the temperature, but, see how you.
Oh, I mean, fell asleep I still on feel it. The I same see way it, about see it. Here. I mean, LeBron's an amazing, he's the best, you know, top three, I guess, yeah. You know, best basketball players right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good for him. I've never cared for, as obviously you guys know, just the way the NBA has become over the last like 20 years with free agency and that.
That's fair. So, that's fair. You've been consistent about that. You've been
consistent. That's where more of my frustration lies, more so with that than LeBron. So
you've been consistent.
But no, I'm happy for him. That's what his fourth ring. Is that right?
Fourth ring. Only
that's awesome, man.
Only person to have finals MVPs with three different teams. So
that doesn't mean anything, by the way.
I feel you. I feel you.
At all.
I feel you. I feel you.
I just think it just should just be he had three finals MVPs.
He has four, actually. Just three with different.
Okay, he has four finals MVPs. Yeah. That's the stat.
I feel you.
Who fucking cares?
I feel you.
That's why. Like, all right.
Hey.
That's like, here we go, dude. All right, here we go. Shit. You just, like, you did that on purpose. I fell for it.
Yeah, right into it.
I fell for it.
Take a deep breath. Everybody calm down. Everything's okay.
We're gonna go ahead. Brad, did you hear that thing about where LeBron would like to play for the Bulls?
I'd be all right with that.
Hey, please,
I'm a Bulls fan.
Please believe.
I want my team to win.
Please believe if LeBron came to the Bulls, Bulls and I would be highly intoxicated in Grant Park with everybody else celebrating. Please believe that.
What if LeBron's whole mission before he retires was to hit every dynasty and win a championship on that team? So let's say he goes to Boston after he plays for the Bulls, wins one there, Listen. And possibly goes to the Knicks just to give them one.
There is no beef.
That was low key extra petty.
I'm just saying.
There is no beef amongst Spools and I, but I will tell you this. We would have the greatest time in Grant Park celebrating the Bulls championship with LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you that way.
With or without him.
Yeah, with or without him. So
with or without him.
Hey, you petty for there that Knicks thing. They only got one, right. I think, but back in 73.
No, I just think, don't you think they just make up stats for LeBron? The first player.
Don't do that, Spool.
Isn't that an NBA title?
That was the first player to lose six NBA finals.
Yeah. You go alone. It won't work, though.
The first player with a birthday in September who has won. Hey. It's just stupid, it's cool. Dude.
And has three steals.
I'll say this to that.
Jordan's stats are real.
I'll say to that is that they, even the people who aren't LeBron James fans, find stats to stack against him as well. They might be worse than the people that are like diehard LeBron fans.
Preach.
I'm just saying.
We ain't gonna do that, man. Let's get to the rundown because I don't want to get blood pressure up. So yeah,
this ain't tough talk. Oh, no, this ain't tough talk. So we'll let it go.
Fucking Mike. Mike is.
This is not tough talk. We had right. tough talk.
I think we're good.
That was tough.
It's tough.
All right. So let's talk about Killer Mike, man.
Killer Mike
really is out here talking about it, being about it, setting an example. Just in hip hop and just in this community, period, man. Like, he's launched a digital banking service that's for Black and Latin communities. He's partnered with former Atlanta Mayor Andrew Young, Bounce TV founder Ryan Glover. They're going to launch a banking platform designed to level the playing field, Black and Latin customers. The service is compatible with Apple, Samsung, and Android apps. Those who sign up by the end of the year will receive a Black metal debit card from the bank. So
I'd like to sign up.
Yeah, I'm definitely signing up once they get started. I think this is extremely dope. It's one thing to have a lot of guys in hip hop that say certain things, but it's another thing to see, you know, Killer Mike actually follow through and be, you know, proactive. Like, he's always working on something, whether it's buying property to start this or he's got his ownership with his barbershop. All Black people working in that. Like, he's always working on something. Even the TV show he had with the people that were pitching ideas. Like, he's really becoming one of those guys just overall in the culture. I know for the most part, we'd be pretty good with him in the bank. Like, that sounds like a good idea. You can feel free to expand on that as well. But the second point I'd like to ask you guys, Killer Mike slowly becoming one of the greatest hip hop figures ever, man, based off what he's doing in music, in hip hop, and outside of hip hop as well. It doesn't have to be necessarily from the South. I'm talking on a level of people like Chuck D and all those people like that. Like, I think he's really starting to climb that ladder, in my personal opinion. So, Lone, I'll come to you first. I obviously what you mean about the banks, but is Killer Mike really becoming one of those pillars, man? Because I think he's doing a damn good job, in my personal opinion.
I think, without a doubt, he's definitely a staple in the hip-hop community. You know, he's more than just a musician, you know. And he's a really good one. You know, he's a really good rapper, and he's got a really long career, and he's still making great music, and he's still relevant. But at the same time, you know, he backs up what he says, and he's definitely about the community aspect that's related to, you know, hip hop related things, I guess. But more so the Black, you know, the Black and, like you said, Latin community, which you've been talking about, but more so Black community. To answer your question, I mean, that's kind of an easy answer to me. But it's just, we don't hear, I think one of the things about Killer Mike that's a little different than maybe some other artists is that we regularly see Mike in the news for things that he's doing. Mm-hmm. There are probably lots of other artists that are advocating in a whole bunch of other different ways that maybe just don't have the platform that Mike does.
That's fair.
But the fact that Mike does have the platform and he is using it, I think makes him special. So
maybe that's what's different. I see your point there. Maybe that's what's different. J Diff, you met just by killing Mike. If you have any thoughts on the bank, just overall.
Yeah, I think it just speaks volumes of his character. Like, remember when we had kind of had the mock presidential election and a few of us stated that.
Oh, I think it happened again. Just about to go into his bag. Oh, man.
The president and what he stands for.
There he is.
Okay. Well, say
even
that again.
You cut out just before you started to give us your bar. So could you repeat what you said?
Oh, my bad. Well, this live and digital age got everything messed up, but
it's all good.
What I was saying is when we had our kind of mock presidential election, if it was hip hop,
right?
What Killer Mike stood on, a lot of us decided that he should have been president or should be president if that were to happen. Right. Also his Netflix special where he kind of delved into starting his own country and just economic education that he was given on that series itself, it's not really a surprise for him to be doing something like this. I like how he connected the Greenwood name of the bank, Tulsa, which was part of Black Wall Street, for those that don't know.
Yep.
And the dollar circulated in that community something like 36 times or something like that. So it's a solid nod to the infrastructure that was pretty much demolished. And it's never talked about until here recently. But I just think it's solid. You know, Mike's that type of person.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the stats right now is that the dollar circulates for 20 days in the white community, but only for 6 hours in the black community. Mm. So this is a nod to that.
Yeah.
I can dig it. Spools, talk to me, man.
I agree just pretty much with what they said, what Sean and Terry said. I've admired Killer Mike since I really, I don't know, I guess really after I heard rap music. Mm. That's what, I mean, I'm ready for rap music too, by the way. That'd be awesome. Or some other Killer Mike solo. No, man, he's an incredibly intelligent and wise guy or wise person. Like, you don't, and he likes his own shit too. That might be controversial. Like, he likes his strip clubs. You know what I mean? He likes his weed. He's genuine. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I think that's what people appreciate. Like, he doesn't try to act like he's better than anyone. You know what I mean? So, I hope that, you know, all his ventures work out and that it spawns, you know, for, you know, other young people or young black people, especially that to do the same thing or to kind of follow his, you know, his leader or in not in his footsteps necessarily, but, you know, take that step, you know. So
I can dig it, man. Each one teach one for sure. Jay Moore, put a bow on this one for us real quick before we go to the next one. I know you'll probably echo some of the same sentiments, but what's your spin on it, man? How do you feel?
You know, as much as I enjoy Killer Mike as an artist, you know, I can't really recite to you a whole bunch of his lyrics, but I can definitely tell you a bunch of the things that he's brought up in interviews and things that he said that I have agreed with. Some of them I disagreed with, but, you know, all of them have been things that have made me think. And if you know anything about Killer Mike, he's always extolled the idea of group economics, you know, and talked about people like Dr. Claude Anderson, you know, do your Googles on him. And, you know, and even talked about, even though he's not a member of the FOI, he has talked about, you know, Elijah Muhammad, not so much the religious part of it, but as far as like the economic development part of it, the part of like owning your own land, farming your own land. You know, if you're going to know how to if you're about this revolution talk, you better be able to know how to hunt, shoot and fish, you know. And so when you talk about the Greenwood Initiative, which is something that I'm very impressed with, and I got into it with somebody, you know, as I do on Twitter, I said, this is not Rush Card 2.0. This is actual economic empowerment here. And I'm excited about it, you know, and I still want to do a little bit more research before I get to put my money in. But I do think from what I've seen so far, I'm excited about. And, you know, if we can just make group economics cool, you know, like we make, you know, buying chargers cool and going to the strip club cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I think Killer Mike could definitely is that bridge because of what Spool said. He's a genuine individual. You know, he talks about how, you know, he likes his cars. He likes his weed. He likes going to the strip club. But, you know, he's still about his people. He's about not only economic, but political empowerment, you know, because there seems to be this crazy, especially now that we're about 3 weeks out from the election, where there are a lot of people, you know, they either want to talk about economic empowerment or they want to talk about political empowerment. You know, there are a lot of people who are like, we shouldn't even be out here voting. We should be doing this, that, and the third. And it's like, no, all of these things tie together. And, you know, when I listen to someone like Killer Mike talk about all of these things together, I'm like, okay, yes, this makes sense. You know, even when he talks about like, I'm not here to be, you know, getting too political because, you know, that's not what we're trying to do because it's still about hip hop. But, you know, as a lot of us have seen the lines, people voting early, you know, I'll just tell you that I'm preparing to vote early and I'm not voting for Donald Trump and I'm not voting for somebody who doesn't have a chance to actually win the presidency. And, you know, we just have the fact that he's talking about being politically and economically smart and marrying the two, I think is something that's real revolution right there. And I'm excited about it. You know, once, you know, I get some things together and I do a little bit more research, I'll be certainly happy to support Killer Mike in the Greenwood Initiative. And like I said, group economics is something that he's been talking about for a long time. And clearly he's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk. So I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see him do more interviews and talk about this thing more and, you know, and come back in a year. And nothing against Rush Card, because you know what, Rush Card, I know it sounds like I was shitting on Rush Card, but you know, like, basically Russell Simmons set the whole debit card. Like, there probably wouldn't be a Venmo card or Cash App card. Like, he's got his own problems right now, but you know, he really did set all that up for the green dots and all these cash cards that you see in every grocery store in America. So like, honestly, in a way, shout out to Russell Simmons for setting that blueprint. But I think this is taking it to the next level because with, what Killer Mike is setting in motion, this is when we're going to be able to say, okay, black church, don't put your money into a bank that's going to create loans for people who are going to gentrify the neighborhood, and to where that's the craziest thing, where black banks have, black churches have absolutely no choice but to put their money into banks that will not loan to the people who are members of these churches. And then when it's time to go ahead and gentrify the neighborhood, they're loaning the money back out that is put into it by these churches to everyone but the people who look like them. So I think this is a big deal. Like, I'm excited about it. You know, like the way he's explained it and the way he's actually laying the groundwork, I think we should all be excited about it. It's something not only just for black people, but for hip hop culture. So
the most important thing that you said, I think, is, you know, and this is an oversight on my part, is part about doing the research, you know, to, you know, follow him and see what the plans are and how they've prepared it. And then doing your research before you try to invest. Like I said, I definitely want to sign up. I'll do it. But that's a very good point. You have to.
Yeah, because look, I had a Rush Card. I'm not going to front. I had a Rush Card back in the day. That's where I put all my club money. I wasn't going to put it in the bank.
Hey, Russ is cool. We ain't going to it's all right. He's still OG, still a legend. But that's actually a good point, man. It's a damn good point to be smart about how you invest and make sure you do your research before you start.
Fuck it. Just throw it all in there.
Don't do that. Mm. All right. All right.
Do you guys think with that a little bit, do you guys think that, I'm just curious because you, I think Terry, you're the one that brought up our when we a few episodes back when we brought up our like hip hop cabinet and you know who we would have run. Do you guys think legitimately that we might potentially see Mike in a political seat in the future? Do you think he would do well?
I think he 100%. There was anybody that I think that was, you know, smart enough, well-read enough, articulate enough, prepared enough to be able to make a transition into that, I 100% could see him doing that. I don't think the transition would be tough for him at all because he is so prepared. You can tell by how he speaks. Like Mike, I don't see Mike running off at the mouth. Like everything that he said, he's either read about, he can suggest books about. It's always thought out and executed well in his mind before he says it. So I there's no way I could see him not doing it. If he chose to, I think the transition would be easy.
I agree with that sentiment. Mike was built for this shit. I mean,
yeah.
He grew up in the neighborhood. His daddy was a cop. Came from a background that was definitely about the community.
Yeah.
And he's an illustrious speaker. So, I mean, I think he was built for it. He ain't out here faking it.
Yeah, like 100%, man. I think Mike could do that. And I'd actually be, I think about it, man. There's so many people. Go ahead, Spools. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think Bun B would be really good.
That's another one.
I know Scarface, Mr. Brad Jordan ran for office or some sort of office or some sort of position in Houston this last
Willie D as well.
In 2018. Willie D. Yeah. Those are some names that come to mind.
Shout out to Scarface too, because he posted he was looking for a match
as
for
much as I would like to see. I think didn't he?
Did he find one?
Did he? I thought he found one.
I hope so. I haven't seen anything. I hope so. I hope he found one. I
haven't heard that yet. Okay, even, I don't want to say that. I thought I could be wrong.
I mean, even on the video probably that I shared about it, there were like four or five comments of people saying, "How do I reach out to him to get you know?" So it was.
Yeah, like I mean, prayers go up to Scarface, man. I hope he can. Spools, I ain't gonna even talk about it no more. I hope you're right and I'm wrong. I hope he got a match. Let's go ahead and jump into the second topic that we have to make. Yeah,
Jay, did you have something to say? Not like you were chiming in.
No, I'm doing the last little point I want to leave is as much as you know, the five of us would probably think, yeah, it'd be awesome to see someone like Killer Mike actually run for office, and I feel like he can do so much good outside of the system, because sometimes when you get inside that system, like you wind up having to deal with so many people and you wind up having to, you know, really make concessions, because that's the nature of politics is compromise.
Yep.
You know, if he when you're outside of the system, you can say, OK, this is what we're going to do and this is when we're going to do it. And this is how we're going to do it. So as much as I'd love to see someone like Killer Mike, somebody who's real like that, get inside of the system, I really think he can do so much more outside of the system. And so,
that's
like,
why,
you know,
that's why I asked the question. That's why I asked the question. Yeah.
So. Cool. Okay. Oh, all right. Let's get to this next topic. I saw a video on this on YouTube.
Real quick before.
Yeah, go ahead, Spools.
I don't think he's found one, but it said that he has begun the process
okay.
to get a kidney transplant. Okay. So he said it should take me 2 to 3 months to see if I'm a good candidate. In the meantime, you stay healthy. The list will open shortly thereafter and we can discuss who's a match. Again, I appreciate that, y'all.
Thanks, Brad, for that update, because I didn't want to get too hyped. Shout out to the chat as well. I see my man Akeem in there. I see a lot of Jordan love. Long live the GOAT. Oh, sorry about that.
Mike, your mic.
Long live the GOAT. Shout out to my man Akeem. I see you in here. David, I see you. David Peck, I see you. DJ Chromatic, Willie D said, let a hoe be a hoe. I see you.
Yeah.
I see you. We appreciate y'all having the chat jumping. All right, so let's jump into this next topic. I saw a video on this on YouTube a while back. Didn't pay too much attention to it because we hear so many things and so many theories, conspiracy theories. But there was an article on NPR that talked about a conspiracy against hip hop. And it was rumblings. It says in 2012, an unsigned letter began circulating on popular hip hop blogs describing a meeting allegedly happened about 20, make sure I got my paper right, 20 years earlier.
Popular hip hop blogs.
What did I say?
That's what you said.
Yeah, that's what they said, Long. Circulating on popular hip hop blogs.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say there probably weren't popular hip hop blogs, but we continue.
I see what you want. That's what they said, Long. Popular hip hop blogs. And it says
superhiphopunderground.com is not a. Yeah, anyways.
I see where you're going. It happened.
You didn't subscribe to shotsfired.com?
It says it happened 20 years earlier between private prison and music industry executives, according to this letter. And let me make sure I'm reading right because my copy and paste game is whack. Record execs were asked to begin marketing and promoting hip-hop that glorified criminal behavior in exchange for stock and private business. Mm. So the question they posed was, what does this conspiracy theory suggest about the relationship between hip-hop and America's prison system over the last 40 years? So, that being said, you guys heard me ask the question. You think there's any validity to this? And how do you feel about just
what's the actual question though? Like what are they? Not the question. Like, what are they stating is the conspiracy? Yeah, exactly.
Can I jump in, Mike? I can kick this off.
Yeah, go ahead, Spools.
Sure.
Okay, so I've read a lot about this, man, and just real quick too. There's what Mike's talking about. There's a podcast on NPR they just started called "Louder Than a Riot." Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and there's an episode about this, and it's good. And then the second episode is about Mac from No Limit, and that's supposed to be a 2 or 3 part 1. But that's the only two they've put out so far. Really good show. Again, Louder Than a Riot. Shout to NPR. So I've read a lot about this, and just always I've kind of followed this for a long time. Just it's super interesting to me from like a social, obviously, standpoint, and obviously I don't think it's like too far fetched at the end of the day. And Sean, to answer your question, to kind of delve deeper into it. So the idea was that these record execs met with people who were owners or who were influential in the prison industrial complex. That was the meeting. And
okay.
The people from the prison industrial complex essentially suggested, if you can, you know, make more violent music, you know, as a part of your label, then you know these things will, you know, make the, you know, infiltrate through society, and society will be more violent, and more people will go to jails and prisons, and we'll make more money, and then you'll make more money, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the general, I guess, idea.
Okay,
as I see it, could be missing something there, but again, this is supposed to be like 92. Mm-hmm. When the meeting supposedly took place, or early 90s, right? And you see that surge of, I mean, some of it existed before then, but you see a change in hip hop. I think so, right? I mean, not far after that, especially in popular hip hop or rap. But no, I find it, it's interesting. The only thing I'll say about the podcast, but like Nelson George gets interviewed and Killer Mike gets interviewed heavily in this episode. But they asked both of them what they thought. And Nelson George, if you guys are familiar, should be, mm-hmm. you know, if not. But he was like, you know, they're like, do you think that it really has? He's like, hell no. He was like, the level of like concerted effort and planning and timing and coordination and all that shit it would take to do something like that, he was like, no, you know. But Mike, on the other hand, was like, you know, kind of more along the lines of what I think, like, yeah, it's possible, man. You know, now one good point about this is that there are, because of the way our nation has treated black people, mm-hmm. like it throughout time, like it's not, I hate when people simply dismiss it as a conspiracy theory, because, you know, it's like, you know, because shit like crazier shit has happened to black people or influenced black society or black people.
The Tuskegee experiment.
That was true. Yeah. That's an example. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man, but it's,
and you're hitting on why I asked the specifics of the question. So
yeah,
No, I mean, that was it right there. It was like, well, is this, are we talking about a conspiracy or are we talking about some shit that's very possible, but, you know, there's no like evidence. You know what I mean?
What else I've heard it compared to is the Willie Lynch speech or writing, one or the other. I've heard it compared to that, but which is interesting in itself to compare like that comparison, but you know, i.e. the effects on black people as a result.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to mention.
If they both did happen. But no, I'll stop, man. I've
been fine?
But no, I think it's highly interesting. I think it's possible. Like it's incredibly, you know, devious, but there's crazier, meaner shit has happened in this world, you know? So, yeah, man, I don't know. I'll stop there. But yeah.
Hey, Div, jump in. You said you were going to talk about the, Lynch letter.
No, well, the way he's putting it, because I wasn't hip to this whole letter thing that came out or meeting, whatnot. But how he's explaining it, it pretty much sounds like the Willie Lynch letter or experiment, and that has been debunked at time to time and stated that it was an urban myth or a conspiracy as well. Mm-hmm. And this kind of sounds similar to it, but in this country, it's weird that when you hear things like this, that you can't really dismiss it because it's true to a lot of the bullshit that goes on behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? Like you'll get some shit that doesn't sound right. Or I don't know if y'all remember when all of a sudden all the black artists were in the Illuminati and there was these secret record label rituals going on. But the only people that was mentioned that were in Illuminati were like Kanye and Jay-Z and Beyonce, and you had all these other artists that have been around forever. Those happen to be the ones that are in the Illuminati. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, as far as that's concerned, what's that?
First pool say.
I've just heard people try to talk about blood sacrifices.
Yeah, all of that stuff, and some of that stuff's kind of coming back to light now in the political realm, but I won't get into that. But I mean, it doesn't sound too far fetched. Them trying to do something like that, but with it being the 90s, I can see them using music as a tool to just get rich off as a whole and just not care about what the outcome is. I can see that, but
yeah, I
don't
agree
know
with
about
that.
The I'm rest sorry. Of it because I'm not hip to it. I have to check it out.
Well, there's a lot that it implies, right? It implies that this music is going to have an incredible influence on young people, especially young black people or young people of color. Like that's a pretty big assumption. Now there's always been, you know, flower children who listen to the mamas and the papas in the 60s or like, you know, deadheads or hard rock dudes, you know, or not just dudes, but hard rock, people who are into really hard rock. Like that's always existed, but it's not like a tremendously massive amount of people, and it's all done to a varying degree within that larger group. And by that, I mean, some people dress the part and are fans of the music, but they're not out there, you know, going nuts and, you know, fucking fighting people and mosh, you know what I mean? Just shit like that. There's varying degrees of it. And like one thing this implies is that somehow rap and hip hop was going to have like that wide of an influence, not only that wide, but that like, I'm trying to think of like the right word for intrusive, you know what I mean? Like within people's lives, like to me, it implies that. So part of me is kind of like, yeah, you know, I don't know about all this. Cause like, that's not,
yeah. Cause when you
like, you're talking about controlling people at the end of the day,
even when you think about
controlling their behavior through music, right?
Even when you think about the early 90s and such, hip hop was kind of like the stepchild of the music industry as a whole. Like, we weren't invited, or they weren't invited to award shows, or if they received an award, it was during when it wasn't being taped. It wasn't on the radio a whole lot. I mean, it was on the radio, but now the whole format is based around hip hop now. So it's kind of weird that this was happening in the early 90s, but how it took this long for it to be prominent in the forefront.
Right.
I don't put it past anybody, though. You know, it sounds far-fetched, but at the same time, like I said, in the United States, anything is possible as far as manipulation.
Yeah, and honestly, especially towards the treatment of, again, people of color, Black people, Native American, you know, the Native people. I hate to say Native Americans people, for some reason.
Definitely.
Natives.
I agree.
Crazy. Indigenous people. No, man, and I'm like, it's wild, man. Because when you see that, and then you see that coupled, or you know, alongside, at that time in the early 90s into the mid 90s, this crazy prison reform and these crack laws, and you know, all this shit that went right in line with what was being rapped about and talked about, which goes in line with this like supposed meeting or whatever. Like it's interesting in that regard, man. And that's not to say that music doesn't have influence before, because I think it does.
Huge, like, influence.
But to have this level of it, I mean the level of it that is, seems to be, at least I inferred, that they were talking about in that, in this meeting, you know, at least per this letter, is tough. But I don't know. Who knows? I don't know.
You don't just say that. We're too busy saying yeah. At the NWA.
Looking in the chat right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking in the chat right now. Shout out to Thunder Tracks. He got a couple comments on here. He said MK Ultra. He said that's a real thing. He also said he heard about stuff happening at the Capitol Records. Happening at Capitol Records. He said weird shit, rituals and whatnot. I think David Peck also mentioned the about Crazy Bone, if I'm not mistaken. I saw that. That's one of the videos that I saw where he went into a deep explanation about what was supposedly happened with his meeting and who all was there, quote unquote, and all this other stuff. So, you know, I think I'm getting a feeling that that's actually happened for sure. And you got some people that think it's feasible, but don't really know. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of, I don't see it being swayed to one side. There's not a dominant side in this from based off the conversations I've had and what we're having now. I don't see a lot of people going one way too strong. Now that you know where we're coming from with this in terms of the question that, you know, was posed, like, does that change? Do you have any feelings about it? Just the possibility of it?
It's still one of those things, like, I think it depends on what exactly we're talking about. Like, I think Brad Spools brought up a good point about, you know, everything that it would imply around it. You know, I think that there's stuff that I wouldn't really consider conspiracy theories, you know, like when we talk about private prisons and we talk about the prison industrial complex and the way things are set up, like, there are definitely Americans that don't believe any of that stuff is real. You know what I mean? So that's where I kind of got like confused a little bit. Like, are we talking like that's a conspiracy theory, or are we talking about people are sacrificing lambs in executive buildings? You know, like, and like it's just, the lambs part and all that shit's like, I don't know, man. And I don't really care. But the other stuff, but the other stuff, like, is important. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, like, if something came out about something more specific about a secret meeting or something, or I mean, it doesn't seem too far-fetched, but at the same time,
that's what I'm saying.
But you know, it's just like there have been movie plots that are very close to this, you know what I mean? So
you think about music, when you think about music though, and you think about how things evolved, evolution, the evolution, however you want to call it, whatever, however you want to put it, like, think about some of the things that we started to hear in music moving forward, and then you go back to this concept about what it will, quote unquote, I don't want to say make them do, or I don't want to do brainwash, but influence, I guess, is a word that we've been using. Think about some of the subject matter. You go back and think about that, the concept of that meeting, it's not that far-fetched. But to everyone else's point, it's like, I don't know. And then Lone brings in the lambs part. I get you. I feel you. I got friends that swear up and down by this. They're not.
Yeah.
I mean, that are not on the fence at all. So I get it. Just don't know, man. That, I could see that.
And that's where I'm at. It's just what, like that stuff. I don't know. But, you know, yeah.
And more, I'm coming to you on this last one. You can go ahead and wrap it up. And then I still want to make sure we get to this last topic. We've got about 15, 16 minutes. Go ahead, bro.
Well, this is the thing. If this was a conspiracy that they tried to implement in the early 90s, then they did kind of a poor job of it, because if you really look at the crime statistics compared from the 90s compared to now, like, as much as they like to use Chicago as this example, as this crazy boogeyman to always say, well, these are the problems of Black America. Chicago in 2020 is nothing compared to what it was in 1992 as far as the violence is concerned.
Heard you're looking for Candyman, bitch.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. There you go. I remember, like, in the summers, you know, living in St. Louis, where, like, there was a real thing. Should we continue to tell people how many people have been murdered in the city of St. Louis? You know, because do we really want to keep to encourage that? Because as bad as it still is, you know, St. Louis still has its issues. It's nothing like it was in the 90s, you know. And then at the same time, no one wants to talk about how, you know, there are more Black men graduating from college. There are more Black women starting businesses than there have been at any other time in history. And, you know, there's this, it's easy to say, okay, well, hip hop got all gangster, and then that was the downfall of Black people, and it sent all these Black people to prison. And I understand, because trust me, I'm a conspiracy dude. Like, if you have a good conspiracy, I will sit and listen to you. But if you want to tell me that this whole thing started in 1992, I remember, you know, radio stations saying, we're not going to play, this is at the height of Snoop Dogg, saying we're not going to play anything by Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. These were Black radio stations headed by Black program directors that made a concerted effort not to play this particular music. And, you know, while it still broke through and Snoop is the star that he is today because of whatever factors that you would like to believe it on, like, you have to think about, you know, hip hop is as a whole, like, you know, like, if it was all about quote unquote gangsterism, then how does Will Smith sell 13 million records? How does Lauryn Hill win, you know, 5 Grammys? You know, how does
let me ask you a question as a rebuttal, okay, as a rebuttal to that. Take the sales out of it. Take the sales out of it and go strictly to the influence piece. Do you think it's far-fetched to say that hip-hop music as it evolved could be super influential and have a direct effect and influence on all the killings that you were talking about in St. Louis? Do you think, sounds like, you it, think
I not? You could say that, because I remember there was time where people were getting charged up off of watching Colors and Boys in the Hood. Okay. But then I also remember there was a time where, like, hip hop got back into its aspirational bag. Okay. Like, people wanted to be fly. People wanted to have nice things. They didn't want to wear, you know, the khaki t-shirts, and they wanted to come out and have the Versace suits, you know. And you can say that there's a certain negative element to that as well. But at the same time, like, if you just want gangster rap, really, quote unquote, at its height, had a very short run. You know, if you really want to talk about, you know, the most gangster of gangster, yo, we just out here in low riders and drinking 40s and, you know, doing this, that, and the third to hoes. You know, that was, if you want to talk about, you know, even when you talk about somebody like 50 Cent who sold all those records, he made records about going to the club, having a good time. He had girl records like this, you know. Yeah, there was a gangster element to it, but the reason why it worked and why he sold so many records is because he had that, you know, pop mass appeal. So when people say, oh yeah, this whole gangster element to the music, like, honestly, that's such a small part of, and this is coming from somebody who worked in radio. I actually got to see behind the curtain, if you will. And I've told
what if the people you're talking about that are behind the curtain weren't in the other secret meetings that were being had?
Well, there, you know, maybe they didn't call it. Maybe everybody wasn't CC'd. Not, you know, the people I was in the meetings with were not properly CC'd.
There could be levels of secret meetings. You know,
there's levels to the lambs, brother. There's levels to the lambs.
But, you know, my whole thing is, and I've told this story many times, is like, you know, if it was about this quote unquote gangsterism, like, the thing is, all these media companies, they go through all their research, and all their research is directed towards women. Like the research that says, hey, guys really like this particular record. Like, I saw my program director pick up the men's research and drop it in the trash can because we don't care what men like. We can, if women don't like it, it doesn't get played on your TV, on your radio, or in the club. So, yeah. I mean, I see where, you know, like I said, I'm conspiracy dude. I see where this could make sense to some people, but just knowing a little bit about the game and actually looking at statistics and understanding exactly how this doesn't really line up with where Black people actually are in America, for all of our problems, the things that we have excelled at, you know, they if this was a conspiracy, they did a piss poor job at it.
All right, I can dig it.
Right,
I can dig it.
Need more land.
Don't do that. That's a good place to stop. I didn't realize we have such a good conversation. We got past time to shout out the partners. Can we squeeze the partners in real quick, Long? And then we can make something of this last 10 minutes or so.
Yep, let's do it right now.
We'd like to thank our partners for the New Old Heads podcast. No Bad Ideas Clothing Company, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, Sun King Brewery, and the hub for all things New Old Heads, bringingdowntheband.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
All right.
We are back. We got about 10 minutes left. I don't know if we can really tuck this topic and keep it.
We have about 15 minutes.
Clock management. I'm sorry. I'm a bad quarterback. Clock management. All right. So, just we're clear, I saw an article where Currency proclaimed that quarantine has leveled the playing field for lyricists. Said this was in relation to him. I have a question about a project or beats that he ready something called Hit Boy Beats. Hit Boy has been everywhere, by the way. We were talking about this before we came on. He says quarantine leveled the playing field for lyricists who want to stay true to their crafts at a time where the club pretty much dictates what we have to do to survive. The lit stand on the couch music serves its purpose, but it so does the sit your ass down and plot on a million music. So he's saying it's leveled the playing field for now until everything opens back up. I don't know if I'm necessarily mad at that. I'll throw it out to you guys. How do you guys feel about that concept? And if this is true, will it last? Go ahead, Long.
I feel like Jay, you should speak on this first.
Jay Moore, talk to me, because you definitely out in the clubs with your mask on and, you know, all the light skinned chicks. So you can go first.
Well, no, I do agree with that, because now we're in a situation where we have to sit with records and really kind of enjoy them, because we honestly that quote unquote stand on couch music and pop bottles music, you know, there are people who are back in the club, but not really. And the thing is, there was such a, you know, in that initial quarantine that we had, it's almost like time stood still for popular music. And other than like huge records like the Megan and the Cardi song with WAP and all that, like people are still partying to the same records that were out pre-quarantine. You know, there's only a few records that have broken through as new club records. You know, I know we talked a little bit about how West Side Gun has put out basically three records in quarantine, but you know what? This is probably the best time for him to do that, because he's got a situation where he can really lock in an audience who has nothing to do but listen to music and listen to lyrics and listen to a different kind of production that doesn't particularly fit in the context of going to the club. Like right now, you know, if I was a real commercial artist like DaBaby, or like say someone like Cardi B, if she's got a whole album ready, yo, I wouldn't put that shit out until the clubs open back up for real. because it's kind of it's lost on people who can't, you know, shake their ass and pop bottles. If you're not able to do those things, then like honestly hold that music, and it's time for, you know, you cats with the lyrics and we're really trying to make an artistic statement, it's time for you to come back out and do what you got to do.
Yeah, although WAP did come out during this time though, right?
Yes, it did, but it's like when I've been out, you know, honestly, the DJs, they're playing that particular record because it was such a big thing in the culture. But when we're talking about like all these new records that have come out in the last 6 months, only a few of them have really broken through. I mean, yeah, like I said, it's almost like time stood still. Same club records that worked in March work in October.
Now, but what was
the unicorn?
I think more than the record, like the controversy about the video and all this other stuff. I think that's, I'm not going to say that's the only reason, but a lot of the publicity in the pub came from controversy from that, from what I saw, over the actual record being cold.
Well, go ahead, JD, I'm sorry. Yeah. And plus Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion were in the club before quarantine happened anyway. Mm-hmm. Like if anytime Drake releases something, you automatically know it's going up in the club. I can kind of see it both ways as far as it helping lyricists and also kind of being a damper on them, because being stuck in the house and not being able to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, I was actually having a conversation with my bro earlier, not being able to change the scenery and get around something that's going to motivate you or inspire you may cause you to have writer's block. So you being a lyricist, mm-hmm. you being cooped up during this time, you might not be able to come up with some dope material. So it's kind of like you're in the same boat as the people that are making stuff for the club, because they can't go to the club, get their inspiration. You can't travel to the places or get comfortable where you like to be to write your music, because you can't travel either. So it's kind of like you're both in a standstill. But I do see it being an advantage for lyricists as far as listenability, because you don't have to have that club hit. If the club ain't open, that shit wasn't going to get played in the club anyway. So
yeah,
right.
That's where your advantage is right there.
So Spools, you know, based off everything that we talked about, let's say it is quote unquote an advantage for the lyricists now, you know, from a standpoint of obviously no clubs being open and listeners' attention, you know, being whatever it is at this point. Yeah. I mean, let's say everything starts to trend back to the way it was, quote unquote. I think our norm is going to be different, but you know what I mean? Do you think the lyricists will die down as the club starts to open back up, or will this be beneficial for them moving forward and they may be able to carve out another pocket?
I don't know. I just think this is interesting what Currency said, because it's assuming, mm-hmm. you guys correct me if I'm wrong, that people are just sitting on their ass and listening to music.
Exactly. That's what's gonna be my point.
Which they might be. I've sat on my ass and listened to music sometimes, but
a lot.
So he's got a very interesting point as far as like just that social, you know, unique social like time that we're in, you know what I mean? Yeah. So now is it like, I hope that's the case. Like, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, do I believe that people are doing that? And like, you know, if someone was just a fan of someone who's not as lyrical, are they all of a sudden going to just listen to lyrical MCs? You know what I mean? And what they're putting out.
Right.
I mean, I hope so. I doubt it though. You know what I mean? But I hope so. But I think he's probably talking amongst MCs themselves. Right.
I would say so.
So yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the consumer, us, those folks who appreciate, understand, and know what good lyricism is, it's a great time for us, you know?
Lone, yep. You got anything else?
No, okay. I mean, you guys have pretty much just kind of covered it. I mean, the only thing I was going to say is kind of what Spool said is like, you know, we, and kind of correlates to what Terry was saying too, because, you know, we are in a time right now where it's not as we're not as quarantined as we were like 6 months ago, you know, but at the same time, like, everybody is still like, a lot of people are working from home. A lot of people are on Zoom meetings. A lot of people don't have the commutes that they used to do to listen to the music. So I haven't been listening to more music. You know, I haven't been listening to more lyricists versus anything else, but maybe I don't count that. So I find it a little harder to listen to music when I don't go anywhere. So
that's a good point, because that's a good point, because a lot of records I listen to, I'm coming to you, J-Diff, is in during a commute or when I'm in the car. That's a lot of time I listen to music. So that's fair.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, but. Go ahead, J-Dib. I know you had a point. I don't want you to lose your train of thought.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to touch on as far as being in the car. That's another advantage that club records have. Mm-hmm. Those club records are still going to get played on the radio regardless. The lyrical shit is still not making it to the radio. Mm-hmm. So they still have the advantage of being on the airwaves, consumers to ingest. Because even though we don't necessarily listen to the radio all the time, majority of the people do tune into their local radio stations and listen to the same tracks that are going to get played in the club.
In rotation, like clockwork, like out. Jay Morris talked about that before. Algorithms and how to everything set to play those records. So I think
if anything, the algorithm's been thrown off. The algorithm's been really because records that should be huge in the club right now, then, you know, or and sometimes there's a correlation between the club and what gets played on the radio. That's been thrown off in a major way. That I know if you're probably a program director, you're looking at the research and, you know, it's hard to figure out exactly what's really popping. Because, look, you just go, look, just play that same Drake song I've been playing for 6 months. It'll probably work.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, he. It sounds like he said this. I'm just going off how I'm reading it. My personal interpretation of it. It's like, I think he was. It sounds like he was real, like, mad confident in saying this. You know what I'm saying? And there are so many determining factors and so many things that you could point to as gray area. You know, when you look at this, but the first thing I thought about when I read it was, okay, if that's the case, how does this last as everything begins to go back towards whatever is whatever? Like, that's the first thing that jumped out to me. Like, you take advantage of it now. How are you going to carry this over? Do you fall off a cliff and go right back to the quote-unquote underground or where you were? Like, that's the first thing that jumped out to me. That you sustain that, you know? So, I don't know, man. Like, there's so many artists that are, like, Freddie Gibbs is great for himself pre-pandemic, during the pandemic. Like, you know, people like that are on that level with that vibe, they've done okay. But I don't know, man. It's a very interesting topic. It's a very interesting comment from Currency, and he's the epitome of somebody Currency that himself would be able to make that statement, because Fam is putting out music for years on the underground and has a huge following. So if anybody can speak to it, he'd be the one that could speak to us. So I definitely would lean towards trusting his judgment on that. Let's see. Am I missing everything else? Anything else before we get out of here? Did you guys?
No, I think that's it.
Say anything? We good?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know unless anybody has anything else they want to kind of chat about. I think those were the subjects for today.
Yep, and I want to shout out everybody in the chat. Nicole, I see you. Elements, I see you. David, I see you. Chromatic, we appreciate you. E, we appreciate you. None Better, we appreciate you. Let's see, who else did I miss? David Peck, we see you. We appreciate you rocking with us tonight. Flood, what's up? I appreciate you, boy. My man Akeem, Branson Sachs, we see you. And yes, Nicole, you missed the Currency talk, and I'm laughing because we're about to finish. So that is hilarious to me that you missed the Currency talk. That's going to do it for this episode. Make sure you guys find the New Old Heads Network on YouTube. Subscribe. That's a new page. We're trying to get to 100 subscribers as soon as possible so we can get our URL to say / New Old Heads. So we need y'all to go subscribe. It's easy. Hit the bell for notifications. We really need that. Follow Bringing Down the Band as well. You'll see snippets, continue to get music and all that other stuff there as well. That is the hub for everything that we do. We appreciate the support as always. Continue to rock with us. If you don't rock with us, that's cool too. Leave comments. We'll talk about those. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.